One of the largely unknown stories about Albert Camus was his friendship with the scientist Jacques Monod. Both went on to win Nobel Prizes, Camus for literature, Monod for molecular biology. They had one other thing in common. Each was active in the French resistance during World War II. Biologist Sean Carroll uncovered the story of their friendship and has written a book about it called Brave Genius. As he tells Anne Strangechamps, no one would have guessed that both Camus and Monod were headed for greatness.
Well, if you had met them on the streets of Paris in 1940, you probably wouldn't have thought much. Monod was a relatively underachieving and old graduate student, and Camus had just arrived from Algeria and was working on a mediocre newspaper. And it was really the invasion of France by the Germans that changed the path of their lives and really propelled them onto future greatness.
So there's the actual story itself, which we'll get to, which is just a great kind of colorful, dramatic story. But there's a subtext that runs all the way through this, which is partly a story about genius, kind of what it is, what shapes it. I mean, your argument is that in many ways, World War II was the catalyst for both Albert Camus and Jacques Monod's genius. Am I right?
Yeah, there's an entry in one of Camus' notebooks as early as 1942 where he says there's an element of chance to the root of genius. And I think he's absolutely right. And there was another phrase I came across from another writer saying that genius was talent lit on fire by courage. And I think that having experienced what they did, that gave them such a sense of urgency, such a sense of purpose after the war, that every fiber of their being was dedicated to their creative work and to their engagement in the world's larger issues. So these were not ivory tower artists or academics. These were people very much engaged in the affairs of their times, both during the war and after.
Well, just to stay with thinking about genius for a minute, that's so interesting because the model we've had for so long, the idea about genius is that it's inborn.
Yeah, I think in the case of Camus and Monod, they were flung into certain circumstances that, no one could have foreseen. In Camus' case, it's very clear. It was really almost a matter of attrition that led him to be editor of an underground newspaper called Combat, or Combat. And at the time of the liberation of Paris, it was his job to put these editorials out on the front page of this newspaper. And those editorials, I think, are some of the most inspiring and eloquent writing in the history of journalism. Day after day, in the heat of the Battle of Paris, Camus just summoned the right words. They were anonymous editorials at first, but when the public found out who had written these incredible words, they loved him for it. And as soon as Paris was liberated, he had a pulpit to sort of shape the renewal of France. His editorials were in a really unexpected direction where it was not focused on retribution or revenge, sort of settling old scores, but how to rebuild a country based on justice. Mm. He was the talk of the nation.
Well, let's go back and tell some of this story. So we're starting in the late 30s, early 40s, and World War II is going on. The Nazi Germany has invaded France. Paris is occupied. What did Jacques Monod and Albert Camus do? And at the time, they didn't know each other, right?
No, they didn't know each other. Well, I'll start with Monod. His wife was Jewish. Monod was not. But a series of anti-Jewish restrictions came into effect. And Monod started talking to peers and friends about what could be done. And he then joined the most militant wing of the resistance and rose to become the chief of staff for operations by 1944. And that involved organizing arms drops and sabotage, funneling in money, sending intelligence reports out to the Allies that would guide bombing campaigns. And then he was right on scene for the civilian uprising that led to the liberation of Paris.
Wow. So what was his day-to-day life like during this period? Was he, pretending to go about his daily life as... And what was he then, still a student, or was he working as a scientist?
He was working as a scientist. He earned his doctorate during the occupation, and he was trying to live a double life for quite a while. And he was fairly newly married, and he had a new set of twins that were really born just a month before war broke out. He tried to keep up that appearance of sort of working by day and the resistance by night, but eventually he had to go full-time into the resistance. One of his friends was arrested and deported. And he was afraid that he would be found. So he started wearing a disguise, sleeping in safe houses. He stayed away from his laboratory at the Sorbonne. He was fully immersed in the resistance, and it became a round-the-clock job.
I mean, what would have happened to him if he had been caught?
Well, it's always arrest and torture to try to get information out of you. And then generally, if you weren't shot on sight, deportation was pretty much certain to one of the concentration camps. And so that was the fate of many resistance members who were caught. It was Monod who issued the order to start building barricades in Paris. That episode, which was really what trapped the Germans and really marked the uprising, started with an order from Monod's hand. And there were code words that went out over the BBC for the resistance to know that the invasion was imminent. No one in the resistance, including Charles de Gaulle, was given the exact date of the invasion for reasons of security. But there were code words to say, first, that the invasion was imminent, and second, in fact, that it was ongoing. These were broadcast over the BBC. And as soon as the resistance heard that, Monod and all of his colleagues across the country had organized a series of operations that were going to cut rail lines, block roads, hamper the Germans' movement so they couldn't respond to the Normandy beaches. And they were very successful at slowing down the movement of large German divisions all across France.
Now, so far we've been telling the story of these two separate men and their separate careers in the French resistance, but they met after the war ended and they became friends. And it's such a fascinating story of friendship across disciplines, because here's this great biologist and here's this brilliant literary writer.
Yeah, they hit it off right away, because Camus was having the same thoughts about the Soviet regime as Monod had put out in his article. A lot of people were looking to the Soviet Union as a model of socialism, and Camus and Monod were waving the flag saying, you know, wait a minute, folks, this regime is just as bad as the one we just fought during World War II, if not worse in certain ways. And that was not a popular position. That cost Camus a lot of his friends on the French left. So this friendship with Monod was blossoming just at the time that his rather famous friendship with the writer Jean-Paul Sartre was dissolving. And it was over the same issue, which was the right or wrongs of the Soviet Union.
You know, after the war, I want to talk about kind of the intellectual directions both these guys went, Monod and Camus, after the war. Because after all of the horror of the Holocaust, a very common response was nihilism. Camus, at least, rejected that and went in a much more kind of life-affirming direction, I guess you could say. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. And I think that's why people responded to him in enormous numbers, which was, I think, nihilism was the easy way, essentially saying there was no point, that really life was futile. And Camus was really interested in the question of, you know, given the gift of life, how do we live it? And his response was, well, we just live it fully, knowing that it's finite. And then he felt that, you know, striving, just the struggle to live a life fully was, in his view, enough to make one happy.
And what about Monod's response to, you know, after World War II? Because I'm thinking it was also in some ways profoundly hopeful. He dedicated the rest of his life to exploring the secrets of life as a scientist.
Absolutely. And I think that's what happened, is that Camus, his writings resonated with so many French coming out of the war, and Monod was one of them. So I think that he immediately embraced this Camus perspective. It was very positive. It was very hopeful. And Camus so much emphasized the act of creation. Of all the things we do in life, one of the major contributions we can make is whatever we create. And so this dynamic between them of sort of creation and art and creation and science, I think this is what they found to be a very satisfying outlet for all that passion they had for life.
Sean Carroll's book is called Brave Genius. Carroll's an evolutionary biologist at the University of Wisconsin and the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. He spoke with Anne Strangchamps.